Well, good morning again. We'll now pull some of those threads together, but before we do that, we might pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful message of Christmas. We pray for us now that you would allow us to understand that, that you allow me to be clear, and that the things that we need to learn, that you would be willing to teach us. We pray this for the sake of the baby who was born in the manger, our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, are you ready for Christmas? We are now just 2 days away from Christmas, and it is a big season of preparation, isn't it? The shops have had, at least got one person who's interested. The shops have had decorations up for months and months and months. And for many of our families and for many of us, we will have had a long Christmas to-do list. You might have had to put up the Christmas tree. Maybe even you have lights that you decorate around your house with. There's a few in our church who have a lot of lights around their houses. Perhaps you've been counting down the days to Christmas with an Advent calendar. Perhaps you've gone out and bought all your presents and you're organized enough to have them all wrapped already. Maybe you've been to Christmas parties for work or for church, children's church or for gems or for school, all those sort of things. And if you managed to squeeze time in, you might have even done some baking for your friends and family and neighbours to be able to give out. It all sounds like a lot of work. Our Christmas checklists are long. It's exhausting. And then comes the day itself. How many of the kids here are going to get told or have already been told to be on their very best behaviour as they go to someone's house for Christmas? It's at Christmas that we want to put our best forward, isn't it? It's why the character in the movie Scrooged summarizes Christmas in this way. He says this: it's Christmas Eve. It's the one night of the year where we act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We cheer a little more. For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people we always hoped that we would be. For all of the effort, does Christmas deliver on the expectations? Is it worth it? Does it come off? Is it worth it? It's hard to be the people we always wish that we were. And sometimes we just can't. And even if we do succeed and have Christmas meet our expectations by having good food and fun with family and getting the right sort of presents, which is not socks from our aunties, and that's all a big if, well, then it's over in a flash and it's really short-lived. And then if you're over 20, like me, you get to the end of Christmas and you just want to sleep for a few days. Perhaps with the cricket on the TV in the background or something like that. Does Christmas deliver on our expectations? My guess is that since you are here this morning, that either you or someone around you is convinced that there is more going on at Christmas. If you weren't, you would be home right now ticking things off your Christmas list. There is something more going on there. As good as Christmas is, as good as the best bits are with the food and the family behaving itself and the fun that we have, isn't there something more lasting that we are yearning for? Aren't we longing for something with more significance, a truer, deeper joy? And what I want you to recognize this morning is that those longings point us towards the heart of Christmas. So today, the first thing I want you to notice today is that God had a big Christmas checklist too. If you think your big list of all the things you needed to get done was long and took ages, so did God's. Because God's checklist spans thousands of years. You'll notice in our readings today, it started when Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. Thousands of years after that, he makes a promise to Abraham. Hundreds of years after that, he makes more promises through prophets called Isaiah and Micah. And then hundreds of years after that, he makes this promise to Mary with an angel. And you could wonder by that stage, is Christmas actually going to arrive? Is it here yet? That long expectation is happening. But God is still putting the finishing touches on this event. He arranges the entire world by getting a census happening in the Roman world so that everyone is in the right spot at the right time. And then he arranges the angels to go and tell the shepherds so that they can hear about the good news and come along. And then finally he places a big bright star above Bethlehem so that the wise men will come also and find out about this birth. That's a lot of work. And that's over a long period of time. So why has God gone to so much trouble? And is all of that trouble worth it? Will this Christmas event be over in a flash like ours is? Or is there something of more lasting significance that makes all those preparations worthwhile? Why did God go to so much trouble for the first Christmas? Well, thankfully, the Bible tells us the very clear reason. In a passage we haven't read today, but it's in a passage that's in your booklets as well, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Paul says this, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Graham hinted at this last week. The baby was born in Bethlehem for one clear purpose. It's the reason for Christmas. There's a brokenness that clouds over our world. No matter how hard we try, things just don't quite work out the way we wish they would. From the youngest to the old of us, all of us faces some struggle or confusion or hardship or frustration. I don't need to remind you of what yours are as we sit here this morning. All of us go through it. Even at Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year, the Red Cross estimates that 1 in 3 people will feel lonely and isolated. And it's not just others that feel this way, but it's us as well. Kids, are you actually going to do all the things that your parents want you to be able to do this Christmas? Adults, are you going to be able to be the people you always wished that you were? No, of course not. None of us manage to do that all the time. The honest truth is we're not as okay as we think we are. Or as okay as we would have other people believe. The reason for that is a problem between us and God. And this can come in two different ways. One, we can try and bribe God, where we do good stuff for him so that he's kind of forced to do good stuff for us. Or we can flat out ignore God and act as though he doesn't exist. The Bible calls both of these things sin. And it's the reason for the problems that we see in our world and in our own lives. The frustrations that we experience and the reason we can't be the people we want to be. The good news at Christmas, though, is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus wasn't just born and then the story ends. He actually goes on to live a perfect life. And then the greatest act of love the world has ever known, he lays down that life and willingly dies in our place. At the cross, Jesus takes all of our brokenness and our shame. All the times we've tried to buy God off and all the times we've ignored him. All the times we haven't listened to our parents and done what they've asked. And all the times we've failed to be the people that we wish that we were. God sets us free from all of that and promises us a life forever with him. That life forever means a whole new world where there is nothing sad ever and nothing bad ever and no pain ever. It's a world where the things that we strive for at Christmas are realized in a true and lasting way instead of being gone in a flash. Where we have true and lasting joy and acceptance and fun and peace. Now I want to finish this morning by assuring you that this gift is most certainly for you. This is not just for someone else who is nicer or better looking or comes from a better family or tries harder. There are a couple of characters in our story today that help us realize that Christmas is for everyone. Because Christmas is for the shepherds and Christmas is for people like Paul. As a kid growing up, I loved the Christmas shepherds. You got to dress up in your dressing gown and put a tea towel on your head and carry a stick around the stage. What's not to like about that? Well, actually, many people didn't like shepherds. They weren't considered to be good or trustworthy people. Their lifestyle meant that they were dirty and they were nomadic, and so they traveled around and they weren't considered to fit in. The fact that they were always moving and had a reputation for stealing meant that they couldn't even be legal witnesses in court. And yet God told the shepherds about Christmas first. God told the people who couldn't even bear witness to it in a court about Christmas. Because Christmas is for shepherds. If you have never felt as though your life isn't what you wish that it was, if you've never felt lonely or isolated or broken or misunderstood, Christmas isn't for you. But if you have, remember this. Christmas is for shepherds. A Savior has been born to you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to bring true and lasting peace and joy and hope to those who are broken and those who needed it. Now, the second person that affirms to us that Christmas is for everyone is Paul, the guy who wrote the trustworthy saying. Have a listen to what he says straight after that. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe and receive eternal life. Now, kids, tell me this. When your parents catch you doing something wrong, do you immediately tell them everything you've done and make it sound as bad as possible? No, of course not. We don't like being in trouble. No one likes to be in trouble. We like to make our things seem small and not that bad. We like to make ourselves look good. But that's not what Paul does here when he writes this stuff. The honest truth about what he's done makes this Christmas message all the more wonderful. The couple of verses before we were reading there, Paul talks about how he used to try and hurt and even kill those who were talking about Jesus. He tried really, really hard to do that. And now God has made him an example of what God can do in someone's life. God took that guy and made him a key leader in his church. So much so that he wrote a big chunk of the New Testament. That same guy spent the rest of his life telling other people the good news about Jesus. Paul didn't deserve God's good gift to him at all. That's what Paul's trying to make clear. He didn't deserve anything. And yet God showed him immense patience anyway. There is no one who picks up broken people and kindly dusts them off like God does. Now, if Christmas is just a story, if all of this is just a story, then you're on your own. The best bits of Christmas will be over by next week. And then you'll be in this world, this mixed up world, sometimes great and sometimes broken and frustrating. And that'll be all you have to hope for. But if Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that is a hope beyond what you can dream of. Christmas is for shepherds, and it's for people like Paul. And God is also offering it to you. The question you've got to ask yourself as you go into Christmas this year is, do I want to keep doing it on my own? Or do I want to cling to this trustworthy saying that Paul has given here? Will you accept God's gift to broken people? Will you allow Him to take you in, to accept you, and to dust you off? Will you allow Him to give you that wonderful, deeper, truer, and more lasting joy? It's my prayer that as you go through the next few days, that's exactly what you know. Because that's why we have Christmas. Amen. Let me pray. Our Lord Jesus, you came into the world to save sinners, even the very worst of them. As we go into Christmas this year, please give us the joy that that truth deserves. As we sing the songs that come shortly, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, where you come to reverse the brokenness of our world as far as the curse is found. Please do that in our lives. Do that in our hearts for our great joy and your great glory. Amen.